Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Cut the Promo Podcast here on blogtalkradio.com. This is the blast and the day is here. I am your host, Jordan Garber. And before we get into things, I want to introduce my co-host for tonight, none other than Granny Hulkster. Granny, how are you doing tonight, ma'am?
I'm okay, sir. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. You know, you've been on this program before. You know what this podcast has been, and we talked to a lot of interesting people and a lot of interesting names, and I have a feeling that tonight is going to be another one of those stories. But before we kind of get to that, let's kind of touch up some current news until Mr. Snow calls in. Have you been watching the product lately? What do you like about it? What do you not like about it? I'm kind of going to go back to the past month.
Well, really, the way my schedule has been, Jordan, the last month or so, I have been doing some extensive traveling, helping my mother out. I just got back from a convention Tuesday, so I haven't got to see a lot of wrestling in the past month or so due to my schedule, but from what I've been seeing, you know, on social media and here and there and everything, I mean, it's been pretty decent. You know, I think, you know, WWE, they're still trying to give the fans what we want. And they're trying to do a good job with that. So I hope they can continue to keep up the good work. So.
Oh, absolutely. I have a feeling that when it comes to, you know, criticizing today's product, it's good to bring up negatives, but at the same time, you can bring positives as well. Because, you know, there's a lot of things that is true. It is going on with today's product. But when you kind of focus on the positives more than the negatives, it kind of gives you that urge and feeling to kind of tune into it more and watch that and kind of just learn what the mistakes are. Sometimes it's kind of fun watching that as well. So, you know, as long as I have wrestling on my TV, I'll be critical of it. I can criticize it, but you know, you got to look at the positive side of everything. And that's what I look at as well. You know, there's a lot of bad things going on in wrestling right now that, you know, wouldn't be done, you know, a long time ago. And there's a lot of great things that are going on about professional wrestling right now. And that's kind of what I want to dwell on, is kind of focus on the positives as opposed to the negatives, well, still keeping the negatives in mind, if you kind of understand my drift there.
Oh, yes.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's been big. We have AEW coming in. We have them competing with WWE. We have a lot of new things going on. A handful of new talent has signed with Impact Wrestling. Ring of Honor is better than ever, and the Mexico scene is better than ever, too. So, yes, there is a lot of bad out there, but you kind of got to look at what's to offer on the good side of things as well, especially Japan. If you're ever tired of watching today's product, you can simply, you know, type in New Japan Pro Wrestling or go to newjapanwrestlingworld.tv and, you know, watch some good tapes and watch some good matches. I have a feeling it kind of depends on the fan and the style of fan that kind of categorizes different products, because wrestlers that wrestle that are showmen, that wrestle in front of children and entertain kids and young adults, that's another type of style that are doing right. But yet someone from an older demographic who's 40 or 50 might think it's ridiculous. So it's a business that's a matter of opinion. There's a lot of positive, and yeah, there's a lot of negatives. But as I was saying again previously, you know, positives are always very, very important. So that's kind of what I wanted to top off on here. We do have, I want to announce our guest lineup in 1 minute. We have Al Snow calling in, former WWE superstar. And then we have Calamity Kate calling in at 10:35 p.m. She is a wrestler on the BC scene. And she's making some huge noise at what she's doing right now. And she's going to share all of that magic with us tonight. And, of course, we have the last interview of the night, our main event. We have Tommy Jack McGee calling in at 11:05 p.m. And you guys, of course, are listening to the Cut the Promo podcast. You can listen to the podcast on Twitter, at twitter.com/cutthepromo. And every Sunday, you can go to blogtalkradio.com/cutthepromo as well. And like the Facebook page too. The same word, facebook.com/cutthepromo. So yeah, that kind of is how you can tune into our show and listen to past shows that we've done with the likes of Mr. Anderson, DJ Z, Jesse Neal, among many others. So it's definitely a something you should tune into and stay posted on. So kind of go back to the day where a trip down memory lane where you're a wrestling fan in Arkansas, and wrestling is a huge thing in Arkansas and the Southern Territories. What year was kind of your favorite of all time that kind of brought you the most memories, and what stars did you see? What kind of stars did you see that were larger than life to you still at this to this day?
Well, you know, I mean, right now, you know, we have one new company that's been wrestling in Fayetteville, Arkansas, called WCWA. I mean, they've only been going maybe 2 or 3 months. I mean, they haven't had very many shows yet, but I've been to a couple of their shows, and they're doing a really good job. I mean, they're getting some good talent in. Of course, a lot of these guys, they wrestle for other companies as well that I am very familiar with. You know, as far as, you know, big name stars that I have met over the years, I mean, that list could go on and on, Jordan. I mean, you know, I've seen Hacksaw Jim Duggan numerous times, Tommy Dreamer numerous times, the Rock and Roll Express. I've met AJ Styles. I've met Matt Hardy.
All right. We got a caller calling in from, sorry to cut you off. I believe this Mickey Al Snow. Yeah. Let's get him on the line here and see what he has to say.
Okay.
All right. This is Cut the Promo Podcast. Where's your name and where are you from?
Hi, this is Al Snow.
Al Snow, it's a pleasure to have you on the program tonight. We are kind of just talking about some good old memories of the business. And speaking of good old memories of the business, it's an honor and a privilege to have you on, sir. So thank you for taking the time out of your busy evening to share your thoughts and opinions. And just kind of want to kick it off in this interview here. What you been up to lately? What are your latest projects and how can people check them out?
Well, lately I've been required OVW last June 1st, and have been growing OVW back to its once great state, and developing talent and running live television specials with OVW last year. October 10th, we did our 1,000th television broadcast, and I think we're up to episode 1,039. For this coming week, maybe 1,040. And earlier this year, we held the first ever combine, much like the NFL, to actually really address the sport in sports entertainment, having quantifiable metrics that we could use to actually evaluate an athlete's performance and other aspects to determine their respective success in professional wrestling. Then we also, in conjunction with that, we got a provisional approval right now. All we need is a site inspection from the State Office of Proprietary Education. They oversee trade schools and universities. Accredited as an actual trade school for professional wrestling, sports entertainment, and broadcasting. So we have developed a 2-year program, and we'll start open enrollment in August, and we're looking forward to that. We opened up the OVW Wrestling Network because we have like a huge television and monthly show library, and we're producing other types of shows as well. And I just published a couple of months ago my memoirs, Al Snow's Self-Help, which is number one on the wrestling list for Amazon.
That's huge. Absolutely.
And I started Collar and Elbow, so did that too.
Definitely. I know for a fact that I've been getting my Collar and Elbow merchandise. Granny Hulkster, go ahead and ask Mr. Snow a few questions, and then I'll take it from there too.
Oh, my goodness. Well, hello, Al Snow. My name is Granny Hulkster. I'm not a wrestler. I'm just a huge fan. My goodness, I really didn't know I was going to be a part of this podcast tonight, but but it's a pleasure to be able to talk to you, sir. I've seen you numerous times over the years. I mean, I've been a wrestling fan for many, many, many years. And If I'm not mistaken, sir, I have a very good friend that wrestles, or well, he did wrestle. He had to retire due to, you know, health issues. But I remember him giving my son a picture of you, and his name was Tommy Snow, and I think you all were part of a tag team one time at maybe an independent show, and he actually had given a picture to my son of you both together. And
I know Tommy very well, and he's a great guy, and unfortunately for him, he kind of looks like me, so I wouldn't wish that on anybody, but
I've watched Tommy Snow many a times, and I live in Arkansas, so I had the opportunity to get to see Tommy wrestle numerous times. But during your career, what was one of your most, and this may be a hard question to ask because I'm sure you probably have more than one, but what was one of your top most memorable matches you were ever a part of?
Probably the ECW pay-per-view from Asbury Park, New Jersey, with Shane Douglas and Chris Kiddie and Lance Storm and Sonny and Francine. Just the entrance and all of that was just—it was an incredible moment and made for a very memorable, night.
Awesome, amazing, amazing.
Now, Al, kayfabe has been dead for quite some time now, but it seems like wrestlers,
not at all,
especially independent wrestlers, are going out of their way to expose
hold on. Kayfabe's never been dead. Kayfabe's never dead. People just don't understand what it is, and as a result, don't do what the edicts of it are. Kayfabe was not protecting the business. Kayfabe was simply holding what you do in a certain amount of level of respect and having a certain level of respect for the audience. Kayfabe's no different than what Hollywood movie producers do, where they do everything they can to ensure that during the time that you're watching the movie, or you bought into the world that they've created while you're watching a movie, that there's not even the slightest thing that will take you out of that world and ruin what you bought. Case in point, Game of Thrones in the recent season, they made a mistake and, left a cup of coffee in one of the scenes, and people just went insane about how terrible it was because it took them so far out of that world. And kayfabe for wrestling is no different than it is for the movies, in the sense that you never stop selling what you've tried to get the audience to believe in. And the two things that in professional wrestling you sell that an audience is paying to believe in are who the person is, as far as a character, gimmick, whatever you want to call it, and why they're in the ring. That they're in there because they're professional prize fighters and they're trying to win and not lose. Those are the only two things that the audience pays to believe in and emotionally invest in. And if you then expose that, you turn around and go, that's not who I really am. That's not what I was really all about. And granted, everyone knows it anyway. But they want to believe. That's no different than watching a car chase in a movie, and one time the car goes around the corner, it doesn't have a dent, goes around another corner, has a dent, goes around the third corner, doesn't have a dent. Now you're, no matter how good the movie was, how good the acting was, how good the special effects were, you're taken out of the movie. It's done for you. It's killed some of your enjoyment. And Kate is pretty much the same.
Well, I do apologize for that.
I just like to clarify when people use these days, lots of people use terms that are, a part of the wrestling business, but they fail to do their homework and actually learn what those terms mean. So I try to as a public service, kind of try to help people out and let them know what those things are.
Based on everything you discussed and the talent, certain independent wrestlers who are closing the business, where do you see the general interest of the business being in 10 years?
In what way? I'm not sure I understand the question.
No, in all ways possible. You know, as a viewer, as a fan, from someone at a live show, do you think it's going to be more of a something that's bigger, or is it going to be something that's kind of, is it hard to tell right now?
I'd say it's very hard to tell. You know, there is a good possibility, a good opportunity for it to swing back to some degree and back to what the art of professional wrestling really in its truest sense is. And, you know, we've departed so far away from that, that, you know, if we continue down this course of action, then we're going to have less and less of appeal to a general audience. But I have sense a feeling that it's going to swing back the other direction.
All right, Granny Hulkster, back to you. You can ask Allison a few questions.
Well, you know, like I said, Al, I've been a huge fan of wrestling, you know, independent wrestling. I have a lot of friends that wrestle independent shows, and I'm very much involved in an organization over in Oklahoma called Wrestling for a Cause. They do independent shows for kids that have cancer, and I've been a part of that organization for, oh, gosh, they started in 2011, and I help get merchandise for the promoter, and I like to holler at the bad guys. I don't. Granny does not like the heels, and I can talk some pretty good smack to these bad guys. So, but I, you know, because I had the opportunity to get to meet Ron Simmons and Tony Atlas
They're
a few months
guys.
Ago. Oh, yes, they were. They were absolutely amazing. And Ron Simmons told me, he says, Granny, he says, you are that type of fan that we love. You are that true fan that we love back in the day. Now, I have, I went to an independent show one time, and there was a little boy that had a poster. And I like to ask this question sometimes to our guests, you know, but the little boy's poster said, wrestling is real. Wrestling is real. People are fake. Because you always hear people say, oh, wrestling's fake, wrestling's fake. What is your opinion on that statement?
Yeah, about whether or not wrestling is real and
yeah,
people are fake?
Yeah, wrestling, the poster said wrestling is real, people are fake. Because you always hear people say, oh, wrestling's fake. So what is your opinion about? Because I've seen some of my very best friends have gotten hurt in a wrestling match. So,
wrestling, the actual physical aspect of it in all states is quite real. What's the only thing that is quote unquote fake, which is not what it is. That's a misnomer. It's not fake. It's just, you know, it's not a real competition. It is predetermined. We know who's going to win and who's going to lose before we go out there. And then what we're selling is we're selling to the audience the belief that what we're doing, the intent behind what we're doing is what we're selling, is that we're trying to get people to buy into, to believe. And, you know, they believe that everything about it physically is fake only because they've never done it and they can't relate to what's happening physically in the ring. And that's why baseball, football, basketball have enormous audiences, is because everybody's done it as a kid. Even if you've just done it in your backyard or you've shot hoops in your driveway, you've done it. So you have a physical connection, a relationship to what's happening on the screen. That's why hockey has a bigger audience in Canada than it does in the United States. That's why soccer is bigger all over the rest of the world than it is here. That's why soccer is getting bigger here, and we're getting professional soccer teams because we have more generations of children that are been playing soccer as they've grown up. Thus, we're building an audience. That's why, you know, the three biggest sporting events in the world are the World Cup of Soccer, the World Cup of Rugby, the World Cup of Soccer, the World Cup of Cricket, and then the World Cup of Rugby. Now, well, there isn't an audience here in the United States for cricket or rugby because very few people play it. But all over the rest of the world, billions of people watch these things because more grew up playing them. And that's where a lot of the belief that what we do in the ring, if you ask any normal fan, they'll tell you, oh, the ring's a trampoline or a mattress. You know, it's springy. It doesn't hurt that much, which could nothing could be further from the truth. Or if they find out that the ring is really hard and not as soft as they thought, they go, oh, well, those guys know how to land. Which we do know how to land properly, but it still does hurt when you strike the ring. In fact, a college professor had done a test, a physics test, and had determined that I think every time that a professional wrestler strikes a mat, typically averages around about 22.5 to 25 mile per hour car wreck, the impact on the body.
Wow.
So,
wow.
You know, so it's anything but fake, but, you know, it's also not a legit competition. And that's the only thing that would be considered quote unquote fake or not real is the intent behind, you know, what is, you know, a headlock is really a headlock. A body slam is really a body slam. You can't manipulate those. But the intent behind why I slammed a person, the intent behind why I was putting a headlock on, those are what the, you know, it becomes what you're selling.
Well, I tell you, a few heels over the past few years have threatened to throw Granny in the ring, you know, and I'm like, come on, if you think you're mad enough, bring it on. And I actually had one wrestler, he raised the ring rope. He says, come on, Granny. I'm like, can I? Will you let me? But I know Granny knows her limitations because I don't have a license. So I know my limitations, but I do I try to make it fun for the other fans, you know, and I have been told numerous times by promoters and by the workers saying, Granny, thank you for being here because you helped make this show tonight. And I consider that a true honor. I really do. I consider that a true honor because I love doing what I do. I love making it fun for everybody.
Well, that's great.
Absolutely. And Al, you know, just kind of throw back some memories of your career. It's going all positive notes here. You know, a lot of common conversations, especially people, as a young referee myself and a wrestling journalist, be caught up in conversations about wrestling. It's mostly about the Attitude Era. It's the most brought up topic of conversation, and it still might be the most brought up conversation of all time. My question is for you, you know, with all that momentum going your way and being in a very hot era, what are two things that you could take away of that as some of your favorite moments?
It's hard to just say what, you know, two favorite moments you have when, you know, every time you have an opportunity to go out there and perform would consider to be my favorite moment. Just getting to step in the ring and to do what I love to do so much was always my favorite moment. You know, it's hard to quantify, oh, well, just this one particular one or this other one were it when, you know, we're going out there and every night was a different experience and was just, you know, it gets addictive almost like a drug because you just can't have enough. You're just wanting more and more of those experiences because it's such a rush to go out there in front of an audience and get to perform.
So you had a run at the hardcore title 6 times that are currently doing something new with that. For the 24/7 rules title, I guess from your perspective and your many years of experience, what are your thoughts in a nutshell about that?
Well, it's not the same title. It's not the hardcore title. You know, they had the hardcore title in created that stipulation toward the back end, which was very entertaining while they did it. And it had its run, and, you know, it came to an end. And they're trying to some degree to try to resurrect that without, you know, resurrecting the hardcore part of it. And, you know, I will quite honestly, right now, you know, Spud is really the one who is making that title mean something with all of the things that he's doing and doing them on his own. You know, he's just taking it upon himself to go out and use social media and really to sell himself and sell that, you know, 24/7 title. He's made it quite entertaining.
And I guess before I toss this next one to Granny Hulkster, being a producer as opposed to wrestling, overall, did you enjoy the experience there?
I enjoyed being a producer very much. I like it because it's in some ways it's simple. It's similar to wrestling a match by giving direction and idea how to tell a story. And when you know you watch the talent go out there and kind of follow the direction and you know see it play out, it's very gratifying. You know, to be frustrating because. You know, you're not just a wrestler who just shows up and has to be responsible for just one match. Your producer has to be responsible for several matches, and communicating to every single person that what's going on and making sure you don't miss anybody. You know, it can get stressful, but it can be very rewarding too. So I enjoyed it.
Awesome. Granny Hulkster asked a few more questions, and we got about 10 minutes left in the interview, so we'll ask a few questions each, and then we'll be sure to wrap things up. But starting with you, Granny, you can ask a few more.
Well, I know, you've had an amazing career, I mean, over the years, and I know, I mean, when you got started into the business, you know, you always hear, you know, whether it's independent or professional wrestlers, you always hear about they talk about who mentored them, you know, maybe who helped them get into the business, you know, who trained them. Who were some of your mentors in your early part of your career when you first started in the business?
Jim Lancaster was the guy who trained me, was a journeyman professional wrestler, was very good, very adept at psychology. You know, I spent a lot of time with Al Costello. Al Costello was one half of the legendary Fabulous Kangaroos. I had many different incarnations, but always had Al Costello at the helm. And then Mickey Doyle. Mickey Doyle had started in, I think, 1970 or 71. And, you know, when I came in, we were partners, and he taught me an immense amount. He had an incredible amount of experience, and I get to benefit from being around him and being able to team with him and really start to learn and understand things, how they were. And, and there were more, you know, but those were the ones at the very beginning.
Oh, that's amazing. That's amazing. Go for it, Jordan. I pretty much,
yeah.
You know, I've asked what
no
I wanted
problem.
To ask, so...
Well, I'm just listening to, you know, it's a really definitely a huge thing of knowledge here. I've been refereeing. I've tried wrestling. I'm a very small guy, so I've been putting that off for a few years because I want to make sure I'm in the most perfect physique possible. In the meantime, I've been refereeing and doing podcasts for a very long time, so it's great to have people like Al Snow on kind of teaching me those, teaching us the tidbits about the business because it is a very, it's an industry that I'm grateful to be a part of. And you talk to some pretty cool, larger-than-life people. So it's very interesting. Someone that helped you a lot in your career that you have a lot of familiarity with is Sabu. Just overall, how good of a guy was Sabu? And what are some of your just random memories of him back in ECW?
Sabu is a great guy. You know, he's a great friend. And, you know, I've saw Sabu... you know, over the years, literally take money out of his own pocket and pay, you know, other fellow wrestlers that were on shows that where the promoter you know, was going to would basically stiff the crew and took off or whatever. And I've seen him step up and take care of other wrestlers because he made more money or whatever on that night. he's a good guy. And, you know, I don't think that Sabu gets a lot of the credit for being the trailblazer that he was. Not that it necessarily was in the right way, but, you know, he was very innovative. And, you know, I don't think that he gets the credit for the innovation that he has done in Korea and the direction that he's created, because you can trace it directly back to him.
All right. Well, it looks like, Al, you know, we covered a lot of questions. We covered a lot of things, and you've been more than grateful to share some of your time with us. And for that, it's been great. I guess my last question is, before I go to bed and I watch some wrestling tapes tonight, pick me a random year and pick me a program to watch. Just a classic wrestling tape for me to watch before I head to work tomorrow.
I would have to say tough for the year. I'm not real good with that kind of stuff anymore.
Usually an old school fan, mostly.
Go and find like Morton and Flair. Ricky Morton and Ric Flair. If you guys, you know, if you want examples of the word over in wrestling, what I would suggest you do is to go back and find any of the old Sportatorium world-class championship wrestling when the Von Erichs were there, or Ricky Morton and Robert Gibson in the Carolinas. You know, I could name off a few more, but, you know, if you really want to understand what it means for a wrestler to be over, go watch those and you'll see the difference. And understand, make no mistake, that every single one of those people that were in those buildings doing all that stuff, which you see, all knew the exact same thing that you know, that wrestling was predetermined. Something new. They still carried that much because the wrestlers themselves had the ability and the talent and the skill and the understanding of how to never allow the audience to not believe in what they were doing and who they were.
Awesome, man. Where can people follow you on social media?
People can follow me at The Real Al Snow on all the platforms. And, you know, please feel free to. The Real Al Snow. Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Awesome. Well, you know, thanks for just taking the time to share your knowledge of the business. You know, it's a privilege, and I understand that fact, that it is a privilege to have a veteran like yourself on the show and just to share your insights with a young man like myself. So I want to just take the time to say thank you again, Al, and I hope you have a wonderful rest of your evening, sir.
And Al, I would like to say it was a true honor for me as a fan to be able to be a part of this interview with you tonight, sir. I mean, you, like I said, you are absolutely amazing. I've watched you for years. I think I was one of your biggest fans, and you know, and I've always enjoyed watching you. You know, when you wrestled, I just always enjoyed it very, very, very much. And I will continue to keep being the true fan that I am of this sport we call wrestling. So it was a true honor to be able to get to speak with you tonight, sir.
Well, thank you guys very much. I really appreciate you giving me the time.
Have a great night.
No problem. Have a great night. Take care.
Both of you as well. Bye.
Thank you.
All right, so that was can you imagine that, Granny Hulk? There, what kind of a name we have here on Cut the Promo podcast? You know, it's only beginning, and I certainly learned a lot from WWE legend Al Snow. If you're just tuning in, the archive is going to be up here, and it's basically a really insightful interview with Al Snow. More of an interview that kind of taught me a few extra things about the business, and kind of, in a nutshell, an amazing interview, a lot of topics covered, and it was definitely something that will be on the show archive for a long time and will be a memory for many years to come. So we got calling in about a minute is I think I'm saying that right. My goodness, I should be pronouncing these guest names correctly, obviously. But we have Calamity K calling in at 10:35. And then we have Tommy Jack McGee calling in at 11:05. We just got started. But, Granny Hulkster, what are your thoughts starting this show off with a blockbuster interview?
Well, like I said, as I said to Al, he was, I mean, he's absolutely amazing. I mean, like I said, I remember, like I said, when I mentioned about Tommy Snow, I remember Tommy actually bringing that picture to my son, and Al had autographed it, and Tommy had autographed it for my son, and, you know, well, and Tommy actually gave it to my son, and I mean, that was just an absolutely amazing thing that he did for my son, and, you know, my son, he loves wrestling just as much as my husband and I do, and you know, we had the opportunity to get to see Tommy Snow wrestle many a times in Arkansas. And, you know, like Al said it best, you know, he looks so much like Al Snow. I mean, it's kind of funny, you know, I don't know if you know Tommy Snow or not, or if you're familiar even with the name.
Maybe.
But, yeah, I mean, he comes out with Nugget was, you know, and he made the matches fun. I mean, he would, you know, the referee would come up and, you know, start to search him, you know, check his boots, and he'd get down on his hands and knees, and he'd put his hands behind his head, and he'd say, "Yes, officer."
So we have our next guest calling in. Sorry to interrupt.
That's all right. That's okay. No problem.
So we want to make sure we don't keep anyone waiting. We had that
happen
last
week.
That's
for sure.
So let's get her on now. Hello there. Welcome to Cut the Promo Wrestling Podcast. Am I speaking to who I think I'm speaking to?
Who do you think you're speaking to?
Calamity Kate?
Nope. You're speaking
to
Calamity Kate.
Calamity Kate? Oh, my.
Yeah.
Honor to have you. It's a tough one. The way the name is
pronounced.
If
you don't know the English language very well, it can be very tough.
I've tried watching pronunciation guys. I've had a long
really?
Day. Been at the beach, so it's one of those days where I'm trying to, you know, relax and unwind. But welcome to Cut the Promo Podcast. It's great to have you on the
Hello.
Show.
Hello, it's great to be here. Thank you.
Absolutely. So I have my co-host as well, Granny Hulkster, on the phone as well. And,
hello, Calamity Kate.
Hi. Can you hear my dogs?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I can.
I love dogs. I have two dogs of my own.
Oh, nice. What kind of dogs do you have?
I have a Basset Hound named Maggie and a half Mountain Cur, half Lab named Duke. He's got the brindle marking. And then I'm actually dog sitting. My son is actually in the hospital. So I'm actually, my husband and I are here at my son's apartment in Arkansas where I live. I'm taking care of his dogs. He has a Cheweenie named Mysterio. He named him after Rey Mysterio.
Oh, my God.
And he has a Jack Russell. And they weren't sure what the daddy was, but I think he might have a little bit of boxer in him. His name is Logan. So, you know, we love our fur babies.
Nice. Well, thank you for having me on your show.
Glad to have you on.
Yeah.
Not a problem. It's a privilege. We just recently spoke with Al Snow, and now we have you on the program as well. So it makes for a great action-packed show, and we look forward to that. I'm on the Canadian scene as well as a referee and a podcaster, and you are big in the British Columbia scene. So kind of just tell us how you got your start, who you worked with, and maybe, and then I'll kind of go on from there because I'm familiar with a lot of names there as well as they come down here to Manitoba for CWE. So, just kind of tell us how you got your start and how it all came about.
Sure. So I started as a burlesque performer. I've been performing dancing for about 10 years now. And so I was a burlesque performer, and this show started in Vancouver called Glam Slam, and it's mixing burlesque and wrestling. So So like a wrestling match and then a burlesque number and a wrestling match and a burlesque number. And so me and my troupe, the Lost Girls, were performing as part of that. And then they wanted us girls to kind of learn some things. And as soon as I got in the ring, I fell in love with it and just like went full force, just got right into it, started training a lot, and started dating my trainer, Cobra Kai, who's not wrestling right now because due to an injury. But so I've been wrestling now for 3 years, training with ASW and ECCW
Michelle
out of
Star.
Vancouver. Michelle Starr, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know that, but I can't get the first part of your name right. I'm so silly.
Yeah, no, it's fine. It's a hard one.
It is. It definitely is.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, we don't use it every day. Yeah,
Michelle
Starr
is pretty
cool.
Absolutely. I was just going to ask, kind of tell us a little bit more about that. You're looking at someone with a lot of experience, and anything that he says is basically words of gold. So what are your experiences with him, and what did he help teach you along the way?
Well, I had never trained with Star. He runs the ASW shows that I work for sometimes. I trained at his school with Kasaki, someone named Kasaki, and then my boyfriend, Cobra Kai. Then I've been training with Artemis Spencer and Nicole Matthews out of ECCW, and been learning so much from all of them. Just so many nuggets that I've learned from them. And then every time I travel, I try and train wherever I am, just so I can, keep it up, but also you get different things from different people, and someone will tell you something that you're like, oh, I never thought of that. So you can just gain so many little nuggets of gold that way.
Absolutely. And there's CWE's coming into British Columbia for the tour, if you were aware. So that's definitely something
mm-hmm.
else that you could check out. That's our, we have that down.
Yeah.
Winnipeg. 35 shows in 35 days, and I'm still, I'm going to go to work tomorrow. I'm still debating it because I'm a referee, and I'm thinking, can I survive?
Oh.
And can I rep all 35 days of this tour? My question to
yes.
you is, if you're given an opportunity to go on tour, I guess kind of open the broad show, not just Canada with CWE, but I guess anywhere after that,
mm-hmm.
Where would you see yourself wanting to go?
Where would I want to tour?
Yeah, where would
you
want to tour?
Question.
I mean, like a long tour.
I used to be in a band. I used to perform burlesque in a band, and we toured 13 countries. So I've definitely done the tour thing, and Europe was always my favorite because everywhere is so close to each other, and the food is really good, and the people are really fun. So I would say Europe for sure. I just came back from the UK. Doing a couple shows out there, which was amazing. But I would love to go to like Germany, Austria. Yeah, book me, Germany.
Definitely. Granny Hulkster, go ahead and ask her a few questions.
Well, what has been one of your most challenging matches you've ever been a part of in your career?
I have to say early on, all the matches were challenging because, I was learning still and still unsure of myself, not confident, not feeling very aggressive or assertive in the ring. So I have to say, like, all my matches early on were the most challenging for me. Wrestling in the UK recently, I was really nervous. And, like, getting over my nerves was challenging. But as soon as I got in the ring, it was amazing. And, like, I feel really good about the matches I had there. Every match brings its own challenge to it. And fear and nerve and excitement. So, yeah.
Well, if you ever had the opportunity to ever come to the United States to wrestle, where would you, what state would you like to wrestle in or be a part of?
I want to wrestle in every state. I love the states. I love the people there. The fans are amazing. I've already gotten to wrestle in Oregon and Washington and Illinois. Anywhere else? I can't remember. But, yeah, I have this deep, deep dream of wrestling in the Appalachians. I really want to go there so
wow.
badly. Yeah. And of course, anywhere warm, like California or Florida, I definitely want to wrestle there. I go to LA a lot. I love it there. But yeah, I want to go anywhere.
Well,
where should I go, guys?
Well, I help with a organization over in Oklahoma for, it's called Wrestling for a Cause, and they do shows for kids that have got cancer, and
wow.
I help get merchandise, and, you know, Oklahoma gets kind of warm sometimes, so maybe you should try to come to Oklahoma. We would love to have you at WFC, and then you could see Granny Hulkster in action, because, see, Granny does not like the bad guys. I holler at the bad guys. I can talk some pretty good smack to the heels, whether it be
That's
male
awesome.
Or female. You know, I mean, I had one wrestler had a show in Fayetteville, Arkansas, because I live in Arkansas, and he says, Granny, if you don't sit down and shut up, I'm going to have them revoke your mashed potato privileges at the retirement home.
That's awesome.
And one time, wrestler... No, I didn't. And one wrestler asked me if I had a curfew at the nursing home, and I grabbed my keys out of my purse, and I got in his face and said, baby, I don't need no curfew. I got keys to the building.
Oh, that's awesome.
So
you go, girl.
I do. I try to make it fun for everybody. So
nice. That's awesome.
So those are my questions right now, Jordan. I mean,
come on, ask me something
yeah.
juicy. Come on.
Okay,
exciting, guys.
Ask her something goofy, Jordan.
Absolutely. When you're working, you know, what do you kind of like see yourself like in the business in 5 years now? I'm not going to ask, like, obviously WWE is the goal and everything, but like from a personal standpoint on what you've been training on and what you've been working on. What do you see yourself in like 5 years kind of, you know, improving certain abilities? What are your long-term goals?
My long-term goals are to get better at wrestling psychology, technique, skill, showmanship. Like, I just want to get better. I just want to step it up. I want to do bigger things, bigger shows. I would love to get better. Like, I'd love to do something like Shimmer or Impact or, like, anything really. Like, I just want to keep wrestling. I just want to keep making people happy, maybe starting to do, like, bigger shows, touring. But basically just getting better. And, like, every match I can see myself getting a little bit better. So in 5 years from now, I don't know. Hopefully I'm closer to the level that I want to be at, but like right now I consider myself a baby when it comes to wrestling. I'm so new still. I'm still learning, but it's been so awesome. And like, I'm like a sponge. I'm just trying to soak it all up right now. Hello.
Yeah, I'm here.
Sorry. With my mute button there. I do apologize about that. But yeah, definitely, that's a really good way of looking at it. Granny Hulkster, go ahead and ask the question as well.
Well, let me see here. I'd like to ask this question, and I asked this question to, you know, Al Snow, but, you know, you always hear people talk about wrestling is fake, you know, and one time I was at a independent show, and this little boy had a poster. and it said, "Wrestling is real, people are fake." What's your opinion about that?
Mm. Well, people say that to me all the time, where they always ask me, is wrestling fake? And my reply is, gravity is real. Gravity is not fake. And wrestling is not fake. It's real. Like, when you're in the ring with your opponent, you're fighting. You're, like, ready to kill that person. And that person's ready to kill you. And anything could go wrong at any moment. You can hurt yourself at any moment. And that's real. So, yeah, when people say it's fake, I tell them gravity's real and wrestling is real. Just, you know, maybe it's predetermined, but sometimes it's not predetermined, too.
That's true. That's true. I have a very good friend who actually, this has been a few years ago, but he got choke slammed and got thrown off the top ring rope and got thrown through a table.
Oh my
God. The doctors told him that he should not wrestle, and he quit for several months. He kind of stepped back and took some time off, but then he came back and he's still wrestling today. Because I remember, because they did TV tapings, the company was called Traditional Championship Wrestling, and they always had me in the center, on the front row, facing the camera, and when Mr. Saturday Night Michael Berry got thrown through the table, and he went crashing through that table, my left hand went over my heart, my right hand went over my mouth, and I'm like, I made this big gasping sound. I made it look good for TV because, I mean, they got my expression on camera. I mean, it was just like the initial shock of like, oh my God, you know. And
yeah,
so yes,
that's real.
I mean,
that is not fake.
Yes, that is definitely real.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, wrestlers are giving a lot of themselves when they wrestle. They're giving a lot to the audience. And that's why, like, the audience has to scream and they have to be just as in it, because a wrestler's giving so much and risking so much.
Oh, yes, yes. And like I said, I try to help make it fun, especially for somebody that maybe has never been to a wrestling show before. They're not sure. You know, I just tell somebody that if they're new to the show that they're at, I'm going to say, just watch me. I'll show you who to boo for it. I'll show you who to cheer for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think sometimes people get embarrassed because they don't want to make a fool of themselves. Not that Granny makes a fool of herself at any wrestling show by any means. But I'm just saying, you know, people just sometimes just don't want to get into the, you know, get into the situation at you know, at that particular moment. And also another question I would like to ask, how important are the fans to you at a wrestling show that you're at? I mean, how important are the fans?
Oh, they're everything. They're the reason why we do it. And when they're sitting there quiet and not getting involved, or not giving a part of themselves, that's awful for us. They're everything, and without them, there wouldn't be a show. So
that's right.
They're very important. Yeah.
That's right. Yes, I am.
And it's fun to make a fool out of yourself. I do it all the time.
Well, I was at a wrestling show one time, and it was a very small crowd. I mean, it was in a very small town in Oklahoma. The town was called Jay, Oklahoma, and it was like a very small venue. I mean, there was maybe 25 or 30 people. And I heard one of the wrestlers say in the back, "Well, we don't have a big crowd tonight, but it's going to be a great show because we got Granny in the house."
Aw, that's amazing.
So
go, Granny.
I try to, wrestlers, and I'm not related to any of them, but they call me Granny. Their spouses call me Granny. Their kids call me Granny. I mean, even all the wrestling fans, they all call me Granny. They don't call me by my real name. I am Granny to everybody in the wrestling world that knows me. So
awesome. That's
all
awesome.
Right. Kind of share your experiences with from your time in Mexico when you wrestled there. What was the opportunity like, and how did it go?
It was really fun. The people were great. The crowd was great. It's really difficult because people don't speak English, or a lot of people don't speak English there, so to communicate with people was difficult, but the crowd was amazing. They had so much fun. They were fun, and I really enjoyed it. Yeah.
All right. And where can everyone follow you on social media?
Oh, yeah. You know, I always say that please, like, reach out to me on social media. Say hi. Be my friend. Like, let's be friends. Let's hang out. I'm Calamity Kate Showgirl on Instagram. That's Calamity Kate Showgirl. And then I'm also Calamity Kate on Facebook and Miss MS Calamity Kate on Instagram, or sorry, on Twitter. So you can follow me, reach out to me, send me a message, say hi. I'm going to have shirts for sale soon. I just got them. They're fresh off the press. So come check them out. If you like them, I'll ship it to you with like a little message. And yeah, I just love when people friend me and be my new friends.
Absolutely. Granny Hulkster, before we wrap it up, is there anything else you'd like to ask? And before we wrap up,
no, I think I pretty much covered what I wanted to ask. So
you guys are so cool. Bring me out sometime.
It's been a pleasure having you on the show and being able to chat with you. So.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we'll see you in the U.S. soon.
Yes, soon. We would love to have you in Oklahoma. So
yeah. Okay, have a good night, guys.
Yes, take care.
Thanks for being on.
Okay, take care.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
All right, so we have someone calling in from area code 812. I believe this could be Tommy Jack McGee. Let's see and find out. All right, who are we speaking to?
You got it right, buddy.
All right, on.
It's me, Wild and Free, Tommy Jack McGee.
Well, I am so glad that Granny was a part of this show tonight. Hi, Tommy Jack McGee. It's Granny Hulkster. I've spoken with you on Attitude Era Live.
That's right. A couple of times, as I recall.
Yep.
How are you doing?
How have you been, sir? I'm good. How have you been?
Right now, I'm standing outside in a small town enjoying the nice country breeze. Life is good.
Oh, that's good. So,
right on the show tonight. Absolutely. It's great to have you on the program to share your perspectives of the business. We recently had Calamity Kate on, as well as Al Snow, and to add you on as the last interview of the evening, as well as a privilege. So thank you again, sir, for taking the time. You're mostly based out of the Indiana area. Kind of just tell us how you kind of got your start into things and how everything turned out for you in the beginning.
How I started in wrestling?
Yes, sir.
I mean, I think I started in wrestling like most people do, and that's as a fan. I started out in wrestling as a fan, as a young boy there at WCCW in Dallas and Fort Worth, Texas, watching the Von Erichs, Bruiser Brody, Iceman King Parsons, John Studd, Fritz Von Erich, all those guys that came through there. And got involved in the ring, first in the boxing ring, and then got involved into wrestling through refereeing, and just kept developing from there. So I spent some good time on both sides of the ring. But I think here's the thing, you know, if you really want to know about wrestling, the best wrestlers are the biggest fans. I think you mentioned the name Al Snow. Al Snow is an unbelievable brain in this business. I think he would agree with that. Rip Rogers, who's over there at OVW, he definitely would agree with it. I know because he said it before, too. So if you're going to be knowledgeable in the wrestling ring, you better be knowledgeable outside of it about this business. But I got started in those manners, came right through it, and I do a lot of wrestling. Well, haven't done as much recently, but I do a lot of wrestling in Indiana and looking to go elsewhere too. Looking to go back to Texas, looking to go to the Western Northwest and Seattle and Oregon, and hopefully there in Idaho.
That's amazing.
That is awesome as well. Hey, you know, maybe you might come down to Canada and do the 35 show tour. You never know. That's coming up here in November. There's a lot of options for you. You've been wrestling a lot of places. Kind of going back today, who are some of the guys that kind of mentored you along the way, learning to work in the ring and along those lines?
Well, if you're taking a look at single guys, probably Eric Raven has played a big role in it. But I've done a lot of seminars too. And, you know, so here's the thing that I tell people nowadays. There's three ways. There's three ways that you got to learn in terms of physical activity. Number one is getting you some good training. Number two is getting your butt into some seminars. You've got to invest in this business, and you've got to get all sorts of perspective. So get into some seminars. And number three is getting in there and doing it. And it seems like everybody either wants to be a wrestler and they want to bypass the training, and they want to just go to a seminar, and they're just not gonna produce what needs to be done. They ain't gonna cut it. And you need to have all three of those perspectives. You got to have all three of them to be a good wrestler. And then to be competitive in this business.
Absolutely. Granny
Eric Raven.
Yep.
Well, that's very well true. I mean, that's well said. I mean, I'm just a fan, but I mean, I've had the opportunity to be a part of Trevor Murdoch one time. I've been a part of a couple, been able to watch a couple of his seminars that he's done with the WFC guys in Oklahoma. And it was kind of funny. He was telling the guys how to work the crowd, you know, and then he says, and then you have people like that God-fearing, loving woman over there, Granny Holster. He was saying, you know, use her, you know, go to her, use her as your goal, make her mad, piss her off. And I'm like, oh, gee, thanks, Trevor. As if I don't get enough grief from the bad guys, it is, you're going to have them come make me mad. So, you know, but it was amazing. But one of my questions to you, sir, is, let me see, I've lost my train of thought here, and I do apologize. It's been a crazy, I just got back from a convention earlier in the week, and things have been kind of crazy for me. So, what has been one of your most challenging matches you've had in your career?
Oh, goodness. I'll tell you, I think I talked to you about this before, granted, but I think mm-hmm. The matches that came right after I broke my neck,
mm-hmm.
Those were difficult.
I bet they were. I can only imagine.
They were. You know, injuries are going to happen. They're going to happen. It's not a matter of if. It is a matter of when and how bad.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you're coming out of an injury, I wasn't paralyzed or nothing like that. I was knocked out temporarily, but when you come out of it and, you don't want to tell folks what the injury is, you can keep going on, just trying to maintain. But, you know, that question in the back of your mind, it's always a big question to have. And, there's been times I've thought about hanging up the boots, you know, putting the whip down. Haven't done it yet. Not ready to do it, but the matches after an injury, that there's always something there, you know. There's a degree of difficulty. I think that that time frame, it would have to be those, you know. And you mentioned the fans. for folks who watch my matches and for folks who see me, know me personally through wrestling, they know that I'll reach out to them. I'll be the guy that fights for them. But there's times when it does get a bit difficult, and to go through such intense pain and keep going on, those are difficult times. Those are difficult matches. I've had a lot of fun matches. I've had a lot of difficult matches, but the most difficult are the ones that come out of that injury. Because, and here's another thing, even if you do take time off, you have to take time off to heal. You come back, at least for me, there's always a question, do I still have it? Do I still have it? And that's not really any doubt of me, upon me as a wrestler, in so much as that is, how can I use what I do have to get that crowd back in it? And will they still be there for me? Because this is a very competitive business. And, you know, your favorite wrestler today may not be your favorite wrestler in 5 years.
That's very well and, true. That's very
so,
true.
So my thing is, you know, hey, if I'm out for a few months, when I come back, can I still get them? Will they still be there? And that is tough. That's a tough, tough thing to fight through sometimes. Sometimes that's even more difficult than to fight through an injury. But I would say toughest matches are those.
Yeah. One of the hardest things for me as a fan, when Traditional Championship Wrestling was running in Arkansas, I actually got to see a show. It was an NWA show down in Benton, Arkansas, called NWA Summer Clash back on 4th of July in 2014. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 2014. And one of my good friends that wrestled for TCW, he was always like the babyface. Well, he was going to be a heel at this show. And, oh, my goodness, I went up to him and I said, oh, do you know how hard it's going to be for me to have to boo you, John Sachs? And he's like, well, baby, you don't have to boo me. I said, yes, I do, because that's against Granny's morals to cheer for the bad guys. I can't do it. And it was really hard for me. It was hard for me as a fan to boo him because, you know, the years that he wrestled for TCW, he was always baby face. He was always the good guy, and I loved it. But, oh, man, I tell you, I talked some pretty good smack to him, but that was hard for Granny to do that. So.
Well, I mean, I can understand that, but, you know, here's the thing about wrestling. Wrestling really mirrors reality, really mirrors society. Mm-hmm. You know, we can be good folks right now, but you let some pride steep in there. You get some pride in there. You get somebody who thinks that they're not getting treated fairly. And guess what? Then you start shortchanging or you start cheating and you start getting what you want. And sometimes mm-hmm. it means you're walking all over people. Well, guess what? That just made you a bad guy, right?
Yeah.
So wrestling mirrors society. It really, really does. And a lot of folks don't think of it that way. But I mean, everybody has the potential of being good or bad, and a lot of it's determined upon what's in that heart. So. It really is a good way to let society see itself.
That's true. That's very well put. So,
where are some of your favorite guys to lace up the boots and go against head to head in the ring?
I'm sorry, you kind of cut out a little bit. What was the question?
Yeah, I apologize. What are some of your favorite workers that you faced in the ring, based on, you know, in ring skill and experience?
Oh, wow. Man. tough to narrow it down. Marksman Fudd, we've always had real good matches. He's done a lot of work in OVW. Where else knows that? Golly, had a lot of great matches with him. Eric Draven, great matches with him. Angus Barnett. Let's see if I can think of guys outside of this area. Irish Giant had some good matches with him. Drew Dillinger had some great matches with Drew Dillinger. Real tough matches. Nick Noble. The list just goes on. I mean, we could even go into national known names that have been able to go in there. But those guys, you know, I like a lot of these guys on these indie levels. I don't think that they get a lot of the credit that they rightfully deserve. There's some bad indie shows out there, and there are some horrible guys that want to call themselves wrestlers. They just don't get it. You know, they need some training. They need some time. They need some seminars and investment in themselves. But these guys that I've mentioned, man, I mean, they give it all, and they've spent the time, they've spent the money. You know dang well it's gonna be tough if you're gonna get in there, and them fans are gonna be on the edge, if not out of their seat. So those guys, I would say, have been great matches for me personally. I just love stepping in there. And I don't mind stepping in the ring with anyone, but if I look on a card, that's where they got me. Oh, I know it's going to be rough and it's going to be good.
Absolutely. Granny Hoekstra, answer a few questions. Chime in.
Well, I pretty much, you know, like I said, I've talked to Tommy before on numerous occasions, and I pretty much asked what I've wanted to ask, so.
Absolutely. Well, you know, Tommy, before we let you go, man, where can everyone follow you on social media?
I'm really on Facebook more than anything else. And So if you get out to me on Facebook, Tommy Jack McGee.
What are some of your shows coming up? Where can people see you live next?
I'm going to be at the Jefferson County, Indiana Fairgrounds on the 9th and the 12th this week. And I may show up on Saturday, too. I've got kind of another thing that's going on the side, but I might be able to show up on the Saturday as well. But the 9th and 12th, I'm going to be there in Jefferson County, Indiana, at the fairgrounds for Supreme Wrestling. I'll be up there this week. And always keep them updated on Facebook when and where I'm going to be. And, of course, people can shoot me a message, and I reply back as fast as I can on that, too.
I just might show up
in Canada in November. You never know.
Oh, absolutely. You can come to Winnipeg, and I can go down to your neck of the woods down there in Indiana. It's something I've always wanted to do. There's a lot of great wrestling down there, and it's something I'd love to be a part of as a referee.
Come on down.
All right. Well, once again, Tommy Jack McGee, thanks for taking the time out of your busy evening to share your thoughts and opinions, and I hope you have a wonderful rest of your night, sir.
You too, buddy. Yep.
Good talking to you again, Tommy.
Oh, wonderful talking to you, always. I'll talk to y'all later.
All right. Bye-bye.
Have a good night. All right, so there you have it. We have three solid interviews here on Cut the Promo Podcast. That was the blast. We had Alisto, we had Kate on, and we also had Tommy Jack McGee. So, you know, I think we pretty much had a pretty good show. We brought up some wrestling news and coverage as well. And stay tuned for next week as we will determine who's on the show as well. I had someone call in, but they recently disconnected. So before I wrap it up, you can follow the podcast on Twitter at twitter.com/cutthepromo and on Blog Talk Radio Sunday, 10 p.m. Central on blogtalkradio.com/cutthepromo. For myself, Jordan Garber, and Granny Hulkster, I'd like to thank you very much for all taking the time to listen tonight from around the world. And once again, I hope you all have a great and wonderful evening.
Have a good night, everybody.